intro real quick. Welcome back to the Color Podcast. I'm Jaden. It's just me today with three other guests. Ben sadly had to call out today, but I'm here with my boy Mar, Tala, and Davari. Everybody say what's up.
Yo, what's up?
What's up?
Today we're just gonna start with, this is gonna be like a more musician episode. The musicians here are my boy Davari, my cousin, my boy sir. Mar. It's my evil twin right here. The nigga play too much, but we here. and then Tala on the other end. You already know, y'all heard Tala before. He's gonna be like my Ben for today. I'm gonna start with you, Davari, since you're the youngest one here.
And all
right,
bet.
You probably got the most interesting line right now. So
okay.
What is your earliest moments of just remembering just music, like hearing on the radio or when you was in a car with your dad or something like that? Like, what was the earliest time where you were like, oh, I remember this and I know this now?
I'll probably say, like, you remember when like Wolf came out, like Tyler? Wolf, I'll probably say around like, yeah, like that era, I started really paying attention to like chords and shit like that. And yeah. I think that really like started, like my ears started to like detect what I really like about like music like that and shit. Mm. It's like chords, it's jazz chords and shit like that.
Jazz chords, yep. Yeah. So I'm gonna ask you the same question. What was your earliest remembrance of just, cause we're in the same age range, and I wanted to know where you started at, where you're like, okay, I remember this song from the radio, or just your first idea of just music. Earliest memory.
Probably like 2007, like when she came out. Yeah, that's probably my fondest and most like memorable memory of music. Cause when Graduation came out, that's all my pop used to listen to back in the day when he was like cleaning the house and just driving on my errands and shit. So yeah, that's probably my first time, about 2007.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not a musician. I like music, but and I hear right here and there, but I think my earliest memory of just music is I definitely grew up heavy on some Michael Jackson and heavy on some Stevie. And that shit right there was amazing when you first heard it. And it was like, wow. I heard Sir Duke and my dad had it downloaded on the family computer.
I love that song.
I fucking love Sir Duke. Yeah. And then he played that song. And I mean, he just had it on. I was just going through it and he just had that song. He had Young World. I think Hey Young World by Slick Rick on there. And I was like, bro, this shit is fucking crazy. Like the way it's structured. And then I'm looking at the album cover. I'm like, wow, this is hard. But Tala, what about you? Even though we aren't the musicians here, what's your earliest memory of just listening to music? And I'm not sure. You are born and raised in America, correct?
Yeah. I was born and raised
in America. All right, so go ahead.
So my earliest memories of listening to music was probably my dad. He would, on road trips, he would play a lot of like Cameroonian music. I'm Cameroonian, so like he would play Makossa music and stuff like that. So I definitely got a little flavors from Africa and stuff like that. And then just hearing the radio, like the top hits. But like, right. I would say the biggest impact on my like palate, like broadening, would literally, it's weird, it would be basketball mixtapes. Cause you know, like basketball mixtapes, they'd be playing beats, right? And it'd be beats from like producers like Jay Dilla or like Taku or whatever, right? So like I would listen to those and then I would find the samples because I love the beat so much. And when I found the samples, I would get into jazz. And then that's when you get into jazz, you kind of just branch off in everything at that point.
Yeah, bro, it's crazy. Like we can go all day about music and I wish this could extend more than what it is right now at the moment. But dude, like as for our ages, like me, Mar and Tala, hey, Davari, bro, you missed out on the golden age, bro. Like when it was just straight 50, Lil Wayne.
It was too late. I was already
T.I. and shit.
Yes, T.I. Like, bro, T.I. came out with Rubber Band Man, bro, and was still going on that run for like the whole 3 to 4 years. And I'm like, yo.
Yeah, his run was crazy.
His run was nasty. And then Wayne, you know, he already came out the gate off the Missy Elliott joint. And Missy Elliott from VA with Timbaland. Mm-hmm. And then Timbaland started doing shit with Drake. And it was like, it was just like that whole pipeline of just like music from like the year 2003 to like 2000, like 2013, like that was a great era of music, like for
like a good ass 10 years or shit.
Yes, of just bangers, bro. Like, and then think about it, 2009 came around, and bro, we was Wiz Khalifa and Currency and them, they was already putting out mixtape, but when the internet era came, bro, them niggas broke the world with that shit. Like, and Soulja Boy, nigga, bro, you ever catch it? The New Boys? Come on,
nah,
bro.
Nah, the New Boys.
The New Boys was that crack. I remember vividly, I was in the living room. I had my sister's phone. I pulled up New Boys on my YouTube, on YouTube, on that little Samsung phone. And I was doing a jerk. Like, bro, it's stuff like that. It make you just think like, wow, the era we grew up in. And we, you know what's funny? We missed that little golden age to where we could be teenagers in that era. I swear to God,
yeah.
We would have been some fucked up niggas, bro.
Shit like that again.
Yeah, bro, ever. And it's like, because nowadays, it's not, there's no cadence. There's nobody going back, and there's nobody actually digging in the crates. And I hate saying that because I sound like an old head, but there's no, people aren't trying anymore. You know what I'm saying? They just putting stuff out, and now people just taking it, and nobody really enjoy the things they like. Like, it was a quote, I think it was Donald Glover's brother, he said in a song, he was like, do you really like that shit you like, or you like the way they gave it to you? It's just like delivery and just branding is everything now, and it's money all the, it's always been money, but there's no more cadence. You know what I'm saying? In the beginning, there was no money. But then when it started getting popular and famous and the white folks got a hold of us, music started getting, the quality of music started to get worse.
Yeah. That's like the worst thing about, that's the worst thing about like this new era of music to me. Like back then, like shit, just like 5 or so years ago, you could blow up off of music just off your music. Now you gotta have a personality outside of the music and shit. It's the whole different world now. It's you a public figure first, and then your music comes second. I don't like that no more.
And you know what's so crazy? Go ahead, Tyler.
I was gonna say, like, this is like a quick question. Like, how is it for y'all too? Because y'all both make music. How is it for y'all navigating this new music world where it's like you can't just be someone who focuses on his craft and let the craft speak for itself? Because like now you kind of have to be, or like kind of have to either like follow a trend or like have a persona or something, you know, like you got to do something extra. How does it feel having to do that where like you can't just, you know, hone in on what you love?
You know,
All
right. For me though, is like, I live a mindset where people going to find great music regardless. It might take time, but they're going to find it. So I never really felt the need to like switch up who I am or like put my whole self out there. Like I never seen the purpose for it, because at the end of the day, the music and me, that's two different things. It's like, it's a part of me, but it's not all of me. And I don't like putting myself out there too much like that.
I would say that like, it's really not that big of a deal, because I'm naturally like a really energetic and like jumpy person. So like off rip, I kind of have a lot of like, I guess, persona, quote unquote. But at the same time, as far as like marketing and stuff, I feel like it's not that serious, because we have so much access to the internet. You could basically learn everything if you put enough time and effort into learning about that specific thing. So I feel like, yeah, it's a part of it. And yes, you should focus on the music the most. But at the same time, I feel like anyone could do it if they put in a large amount of effort into it. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's cool. Since you guys are both musicians, and I know you guys are confident in your music at times, and sometimes there's days you have slumps, what are you guys currently trying to hone in on specifically, as in just like, oh, songwriting or structure? Like, what have you guys been trying to perfect day by day?
I probably would say structure, actually, because like anyone can write and anyone can, you know, do a good melody, but the way you structure a song sometimes can kind of make or break like a song, I feel like. If it's too repetitive, then no one's gonna want to listen to it after a certain amount of time. But if it's not catchy enough, the same, you're gonna get the same result. No one's gonna want to go to it. So I feel like structure plays a big part into it.
For me, it's definitely just capturing a good, like capturing a mood for an entire project or something like that. Like just developing my own style, like something that's, if you hear it, you can automatically tell it's me, and then just making sure the mood is right when you hear it. Like, I want to have something for, you can listen to it for any type of emotion that you have. Any type of product I have, you can listen to it for a specific type of emotion.
Nice, nice. So I would ask you guys who inspires you, but that's a dumb question. And I would say is who are your inspirations as in type of sound, and then like you said, more like just vibe and structure. Like, oh, I like how Blase wrote this and how his flow is on this part of the song. How, like, so who's been, I know a little bit about you, Davari, but you know, you could get into that. Go ahead.
So like, I feel like as far as sound, probably, obviously I mentioned Tyler earlier. So like, I learned like piano and like how to play jazz chord and stuff because of Tyler. So obviously I'm going to have a little bit of a sound like that, but I probably would say as far as structure, more of like a Brockhampton, because I really like how they would structure the songs because it was really unique. They weren't just a copy of Odd Future, and I really like admire that. So I'd probably say that, and try to think of what else. Oh, Pharrell, easy Pharrell. I used to love, like, you ever listen to, like, those Khalees like albums, and those bridges would be so crazy to me, like out of this world. So yeah, I'd say
Pharrell. Nah, yeah.
You could go ahead, Mar.
Yeah, for me is Big Aphex Twin, Dean Blunt.
Heavy on Aphex Twin.
Yeah, that is crazy. I did not expect that. I love Aphex Twin.
I have an Aphex Twin pendant on my chain right now. That's why I wear every day.
That's fire. That's fire.
Yes, fire, bro. Yeah. Who knows about Aphex Twin? Like, only real niggas know that, bro. But go
nah, ahead, for real, for real.
Yeah, I make electronic and ambient music, so like that's a big part of where I come from. But all this for sound, like Detroit Escalator Company, Tyler as well, because I love his production. And yeah, touring Wad, Travis Scott, you know, the basic stuff after that. But like, Aphex Twin and Dean Blunt is a real big inspiration for mine, like sound wise.
Tyler, you want to ask any question?
A question I had was like, when it comes to making like songs and writing for things, right? I remember I watched the interview. It was like, it was Earl Sweatshirt. He was talking about how the way he talks about his writing is like, it's like a vehicle almost, right? Now, if he's more skilled with this vehicle and you trust him, right? And you're really ready to buy into whatever theme or anything that he's trying to put in the song, he can, you know, go off course a bit and we can have a little fun with it, but you'll always be certain that I'm going to bring it all together type of thing. So you always feel safe in like his structure of his songs, even though sometimes he might do something that's like experimental or like, you know, tweak with his flow or something like that. So like, what's something that you guys, or how do you guys visualize creating your songs? Like, what do you think, if you had to just explain the process of how you create your art, how would you explain that?
I feel like coming up with like a flow that is really nice, like on the ears first, is a good way to like start. And then on top of that, you can obviously like fill in the blanks, like with the lyrics that you want to write. I'd probably say that.
For me, I'm all about feel. Like the type of music I make it comes from exactly how I feel in my head. Like I consider my music like elevator music for my mind. So I would basically just like play around with like some tempos or play around with some semitones or stuff like that, and just let it all come together, let it all flow together. There's no specific like process or anything.
Okay, that's cool. I know you may like, I feel like that makes sense now that I'm hearing about your influences like Aphex Twin and them, but like, when it comes to such a like a genre like that, where it's not necessarily lyric based, how do you feel like, how do you feel like evoking a feeling or a sound? How do you feel that comes into play? Like, how do you feel like people will react to things? Because like with other people, if they write songs, they can tell you, you know, what the theme is or what the feeling that you're supposed to feel from the song is through lyrics, right? How do you channel that through, let's say, elevator music or like synth stuff or whatever? How do you channel that through sound only?
Effects, using like the right type of effect or like preset or mix, it'll definitely change the entire mood of your song. Like for me, I have I always use specific like a specific effect for all my music. Like I've been using the same effects for probably over a year now. So that's one thing I knew. Like I found something that I know would make my music sound a certain way in my head. And I just stuck to it, honestly.
And then for you, Devar, how do you feel when it comes to trying to get people to understand what you're saying? So I don't know exactly how or what style rap you like. You said you like to get a nice little flow going before to add like a layer for what the song, what you build upon a song with, right? Yeah. So when it comes to you, how do you then like evoke a feeling or an emotion through your lyrics or even your production too, if you produce for your songs?
Yeah, I do. I feel like the way that you say like the lyrics, I feel like can also be a way, like a gateway to how you feel. So like if it's something like traumatizing you're talking about, you can be very visibly like audibly angry or upset, or you can be super monotone, or like I feel like that is a way you can show it. But also, as you mentioned, like production, like the type of chords you use, the type of drums you use, or effects you use on your voice, I feel like it all can play a part and changing it or how you want it to be perceived.
That's true. I'm big on tone and like vocal performance. So like if someone can come in with a song and then it sounds like I feel it. Like one song that always comes to mind with me with that is on Untitled Unmastered. It's that song with Anna Wise where Kendrick
is it the first one? Is it the first one or the second one?
Not the first one. It's the one where it's like the girl's like, and that means the world to me. And he's like talking about
five.
Cause he starts off and he's like in his, he's like supposed to be in his car drunk off of vodka, looking at the dude from like his house window type shit. Right. And you can really feel that. Like he's just out there spiteful.
Yeah. That verse is really emotional. That.
Yeah. But one of the last questions I kind of had in mind was like, when it comes to making a whole collective piece of work. So I don't know if y'all have dropped mixtapes or albums or are working on one, right? When it comes to making a whole piece of work, right?
Right.
What do y'all feel is the most important part of making a whole piece of work? So when you make songs together, right? Like, is it song structure or is it like you want to have a whole theme to it or something like that? Or is it just a collection of stuff that you feel like is just fire or something? You just put it together.
Okay, so I think I answered this. So like I haven't finished an entire project yet, but off of what I've been doing, I feel like there's two ways to answer this. So if you're trying to do like just a tape, I feel like it could be just a collection of songs. But if you're trying to do an album, I feel like each song should kind of like flow off of each other really nicely. It should just sound like you're putting like 8 songs in a folder and just sending it out. You know what I mean? Like I feel like the way you structure it matters a lot.
For me, cover art is the biggest, like cover art and cohesiveness. Like a good cover art can make your music sound better. Like, I don't know what it is. It's like a mental feeling.
Yeah, I
don't
know what you mean.
I agree.
Yeah, it's basically like putting your art, like your music and visualizing it. And that's why I focus a lot on like cover arts and like artworks that I do, that I do for my projects, because I release a lot of projects. So like it helps a lot. And transitions, like song transitions, like that's why I focus a lot on the end of a song than like the beginning of a song. So because a lot of times that transition is where you get people, like it's going to determine if they're going to continue to listen to your project or just like, all right, I like this one song, but like this beginning of the second one, I ain't feeling it. It's going to skip. Like I'm going to skip it.
Yeah.
I was going to say a big thing for me was like as a listener, just from like a listener standpoint, when you can make transitions like that, it makes the album be able to be like just listen to full through. Like there's not many albums I'll just like put on and listen to a full through, like from this generation, like old timey stuff. Like sometimes they just, their studio sessions, like I don't know if y'all like heard like old songs in the, like back in the day, the song will be over, but like they'll still be singing type shit. And they'll like keep the song going on. Like I love that shit. Right. And then I also love like just transition. So like Alchemist, for example, how like cinematic his outros are, or even like the new Metro Boomin shit. I don't know if y'all heard that yet, but like that shit is very cinematic. Like I like when you can build an atmosphere.
That's funny that you brought that up, because I was literally just going to say like Metro Boomin, not all heroes wear capes. his transitions on there is the best example of like building a mood off of your songs. Like it's times where if you just put it on and you don't touch your phone, you won't even know what song you're on because they just transition to each other so well.
Yeah, and I feel like with music also, like when you can build something that's for a mood or like a certain period of time, right? A feeling, it might not be something that like you go back to all the time, especially if it's like a sad, dark song or a sad, dark album or whatever, right? I might not always go back to that, but when I am feeling sad or when I am feeling down, it hits different because it was made for that, like that feeling. You know what I'm saying? Like I love when something's like, when I'm in a certain mood, I'm like, I know exactly like this shit would hit if I listen to this right now. So like, I like when you can build this like atmosphere for your music and stuff.
Another thing that I miss though about song structure and like keeping your listeners interested. You know, back in the day when like rappers, they'd just shout out their friends and their homies on the end of a song. I wish rappers nowadays would just bring that shit back. That shit was always so cool, especially.
Yeah, it was, bro. Because yeah, the last nigga to really like do that was probably Joey Badass, bro.
He'll shout out all his pro E niggas and knowing. Like, I miss that type of shit because it just shows that rappers, like a lot of rappers act like they so alone and like they these loners. Nah, a lot of rappers back then, they hang with, you know, 10, 15 niggas, and like we shout out 10, 15 niggas on the end of the song, the beat still playing. It's like, damn, this shit hot as fuck.
And it's like, it reminds me just that whole era of just groups, like ASAP Mob, Odd Future, and Pro Era. Like, bro, they was all really putting on for each other. Like, if like they all that came together as a group, and then bro, Jasper wasn't even a rapper, nigga even got a verse. You dig what I'm saying? So it's just like, it's just the fact that nowadays there's no unity. Yes, no unity, and there's no actual like love for what they do. It's like, it's all the facade, and it's like, I wish we had music back then. That like, bro, the nigga literally put a song on the tape of him just shouting out all the niggas that helped him with the song. Niggas nowadays, they too humble to be doing all of that. And also, I have two questions. Oh, did you finish your thought, Mar?
Yeah.
All right, I got two questions for y'all real quick. First, what era of music do you think that you wish you would have been born in? Or do you think that, you know, I was kind of born in a good era, so I'll stay here. What would be yours, Devari?
See, like, I feel like that question, people look at that question such a weird way because they'll be like, oh, like 60s or 70s or something like that. But if you think about like that time, like yes, outside
the social
music,
climate is crazy.
Yeah. But if we're just talking music, I probably would say like, because I'm a jazz head, so I feel like I'm going to say like 70s.
Jazz head too.
But at the same time, I want to say 2000s.
Hard. 70s jazz, bro, yeah, all crazy. Over the world was crazy. Was I'm sorry, crazy. I had to interrupt you. 70s Lego. Jazz is ridiculous, bro.
But at the same time, I kind of want to say 2000s because I'm such like a nerd, like Pharrell, Neptune's head. So like, you know, they kind of ran basically to, well, Timbaland too. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh no, we're going to talk about it. Pharrell ran the whole early to mid 2000s. You don't even got to like say nothing.
And then the second half of the 2010s completely switched the sound and started running again. Like, that's crazy.
Nigga dropped Happy with the Big Hat and started going platinum, son. That's crazy.
Yeah, All Right. And a lot more songs. He did All Right.
And you know what's so funny? That is so crazy because that is like the black anthem of like the 2010s. Yeah. And I know nigga can say any other song. I'm sorry.
Because I know the preset is from like some special song next thing. So I know for all of that. And you can check the credits. He has a credit on that song.
Right. Okay.
But yeah. So I'll probably stay in the 2070s, bro. All
right. What about you, Mar?
For me, it's definitely, I would definitely want to be a part of 90s rave culture. Like, that just seems so fun, bro. And probably like early 2010s, like the experimental, like chill wave scene. Like, yeah, those are the two I definitely would be around for, because like it seemed like if you just had made good music and you had like a good, like if you just made good music, you were going to blow up somehow. Like, you didn't need no persona. A lot of them niggas didn't show their face. They was super closed off. Like, I feel like that's for me because I'm a real reserved person. So like, I feel like I would have thrived and just enjoyed seeing that type of shit. Like, just being around like-minded individuals.
Yeah, I mess with that, being able to have anonymity in music, because there's some artists I know where it's like, they make music and I really don't know anything else about them but the fact that they make music. And it's like, it leaves music up to interpretation. Like when you hear, let's say, like a Drake song, you kind of know the perspective you come from. But if you hear a song from an artist or something where it's like, you don't really know much about them, you can take from that song whatever you like actually thought of. Like you heard this, you felt that from that album, right? Or that song or whatever, that lyric, that verse. And you can take that and it can mean that to you. And it might not mean that to someone else, but that's what makes it personal. That's what makes it like music personal. So I mess with that, like leaving a blank canvas.
And I have my last question. This could be for all of us. Currently, right now, who is your top five in rotation or top three? You can minimize it to three or four. I mean, three or five. Go ahead, Tyler. Or Mara, Tyler, anybody could really matter.
I'll go first, but my top five in my rotation, because I know if y'all listen on Spotify, just got my Spotify Wrapped. So my top five rotation-wise is like Stereolab is like this French band, and I mess with their sounds and everything. Then I also have Radiohead in here, Makami, Yeet, and then Mike. So that's who I've been spinning the most at the moment.
That's cool.
All right. For me, top five wise, of course, Aphex Twin, TV Girl, Burial, Dean Blunt, and Outkast. I was listening to a lot of Outkast recently, so I ain't shocked.
Thundercat, Earth, Wind & Fire, Kendrick. I'm trying to think of like other two because I don't want to like say a name I'm gonna forget. A lot of old like rock anthem stuff. I don't really like their new stuff that much, but if I say like Saturation Trilogy era, and five would probably be like In Utero, like Nirvana. I listen to that album so much.
Yeah, that's fine.
For me, it's been a lot of neo soul. Honestly, it's been a lot of Slum Village. It's been a lot of Baha Maria. Like her college tape is fucking disgusting. Surprisingly, I'm not gonna say surprisingly, but it's been a lot of K-Tronauta instrumentals, a lot of Tribe for me. As of lately, just some DMV stuff, just to listen to just how much I missed on it, and how there's actually some sneaky tracks that has really good production. And I didn't know who these producers are. I'm gonna figure it out. It's like two E40 songs that I'm listening to right now, which is weird. It's a song that he got called Hope I Don't Go Back. The chorus on that song and just the production and just the structure of the instrumental is so good. And I do think y'all should listen to it. You know, I don't really like E40 styles of rapping, but he do be picking some good beats, or like just beat selection is nasty or whatever he produced. Been listening to a lot of AZ. Give Me Yours is such a good song. It give you that Nas New York Queensbridge style immediately off the rip as soon as you hear it. Heavy on some Baby Smooth. I love how he structured his raps, and I like what he talks about.
And I've been listening to Tim and Ginobili a lot too.
Tim and Ginobili is that gas. That's the best song on the album. It's the beat, and it's just like dum dum. That immediately is just like off rip. Sweet Life, like Zach and Cody, like he just starts spitting. You know what I'm saying? We need more people like that. Him and Babytron. I like they just rap. They don't even be thinking about nothing. They just rap. That's all we need. And then it's just a lot of Black Moon and Pete Rock. A lot of like 80s, early 90s, late 80s, early 90s. But to go back to the question I asked Martin Devari, me and you answered on Tyler before this ends. Tyler, what era of music do you wish that you grew up in, or are you thankful to be in the one that you are?
Honestly, I'm thankful to be in the one I am. I'm not gonna lie. I love other eras though. I really do love other eras, but I feel like with this era that we're in now, or the one that like I grew up in and like we're in right now, there's a lot of like the underground scenes are a lot more public because music is just, the ability to share music is different now. So like everybody has access to it. So like back in the day, you had to really it was fringe people who knew about the undergrounds of each like genre, but now it's like the underground of each genre can just be like well known and they can spread. So I mess with this era.
Got you. Me personally, I like my era, but I feel like I you know what I wanted? I wanted to experience that switch from the 90s to the 2000s, because that switch was crazy. Like that jump from just like getting into 50 Cent, like Jay-Z, obviously he was still on doing his thing, but that jump from like 50 Cent to like T.I. to Lil Wayne, the South started jumping. You dig what I'm saying? Then the East Coast, then the West Coast started showing, it started showing out a little bit more, you know, which is what they had going on with just E-40 and, you know, all the guys that they got over there. I wish that I hit that, I was old enough to listen to that Soulja, that Wiz Khalifa. I definitely heard, got a little bit of Soulja Boy, because Soulja Boy was everywhere. And when you even heard it on the radio. I wish I experienced Wiz Khalifa and Currency earlier on, because their older mixtapes are so good. And it's like, for its time, especially, you dig what I'm saying? It's like, the nigga's still talking about the same thing to this day, and it's still banging, and his friends are loyal as hell. And that's how you're supposed to do this rap shit, you know what I'm saying? How he did it. And it's like, I see guys like Denzel Curry, I see guys like IDK just following into that path as well, because they were probably about the same age as Wiz and them, but you know, just listening to their music, they grew up in different paths, but they all in that same level now. You dig what I'm saying? So just going back and just listening, just all the mixtape era is so amazing. The Gangsta Grillz mixtapes, nigga, bro. And then I'm so mad because I'm happy Tyler dropped Call Me If You Get Lost, because that nostalgic feeling of like hearing a Gangsta Grillz mixtape or a Gangsta Grillz album at that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like the last time I heard a Gangsta Grillz tape was Childish Gambino's Stone Mountain mixtape that he dropped along with Kawhi. And nobody talks about that. And it's upsetting. It be upsetting me sometimes. I'm like, bro, Stone Mountain is such a good Atlanta like mixtape, and nobody from Atlanta be talking.
His about discography is low key crazy. I'm not gonna lie.
His discography is the best, like one of the best. Like out of our rappers and just musicians we have, Donald Glover slash Childish Gambino is definitely top five of just instrumentation, of doing everything along with Kendrick. And you know what's so funny? I'm going to say this. My nigga Cole is overrated. He's a good artist. Yes. He's a great rapper. But niggas keep putting him in top five. I'm like, okay, what are y'all hearing? He's a great rapper. It's like, if we're going about rap, okay, Cole got to be there. He's a rapper, a lyricist. But when we talking about overall, bro, it's no order. It's Kendrick. Right now, I'm saying no order. Kendrick. Who did I just say? I just said his fucking name.
You saying
Childish Gambino. No order though. And I can't name nobody after that, but you guys could probably help me with that. With just overall, just artistry in general, because the nigga doing the show and the shit platinum. Atlanta is lovely. And then Tyler. That's my top three right now. No order.
In terms of like artistry as a whole?
As a whole. Just the whole thing of just working and being able to produce, write and co-produce everything and produce and direct your own videos for it. My nigga.
If that's the case, I gotta throw ASAP Rocky in there. Some type of like his videos always crazy. Niggas can lie about ASAP Rocky all they want.
But ASAP Rocky, he fall right in with when the internet era started to come in.
Exactly.
And like, you know what's funny? I'm mad that he just keep trying to be a rapper. He just need to chill out and drop a movie or something. He need to stop rapping, because I'm tired of the Rav Cat, Matt Hat Bat flow, bro. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. He's too old for that shit, bro.
He's 34, bro. Like you aging out, bro. Like it's like, come on. But that's what I'm saying. Like, and then Rocky's discography is actually really underrated too. Nobody talks about it only because that single he had with Drake, 2 Chainz and him. I forgot the song. I Love Bad Bitches, That's My Fucking Problems. It overshadowed that whole tape. And it's songs like Pain. It's songs like Flaco Jody on there. That is just like, boom. And if you know what that song Pain is, That is one of his best songs, and I'm not gonna say that. I'm gonna stand on it. I'm sorry, especially.
I love Rocky. I love his old.
Yes,
shit.
Bro. It's Live Love ASAP is no skips. I'm sorry.
Oh my God, bro. Like when they re-released Live Love ASAP on
my nigga, I was excited.
So happy about that shit, bro.
And it's so crazy because it's like I've been manifesting that for about 2 years.
Oh
and
God, like, it made me want old shit like Bastard on
right. Streams. And you know what's crazy? It's like, bro, DJ Screw. That's not DJ Screw. His name is DJ something. He produced Row One Up on that album. I mean, on that project, and Houston Old Head. And those songs are so good. Like, listen to my old head talking, you'll be straight. Like that. It's some like catchy, like old school, early mid 2000s stuff. And I'm like, bro, we need more of that, bro. It's like some southern, like it's like some southern northeastern shit. Like it's really good, bro. But yeah, bro. Well, I'm Jaden, and everybody can extra themselves out.
I'm Mara, bro. Y'all can follow me.
Yeah, check him out.
Yeah, y'all can follow me on everywhere at Marcella. And yeah, I'm out of here.
All right. My boy, Davari.
I'm Davari. I produce and I started to get into songwriting and stuff.
Then I'm Tyler. You can see me on Twitter at bandicoot_trash_. So yeah.
All right, y'all. It's Jaden and the Club Podcast is out.